I don't do it. I don't change the knob that often.
Another great out of context line.
This is Superhero Time with XV.
You can be a little kind of crotch for me, too.
Hey, Mickey.
Jokes implied.
Paladin.
And no shiny Bowie package.
Ken.
The crotch bear trap on a chain.
And Fort Max.
We don't need to hear about your dick decorum.
So this week on Superhero Time, we have no Mickey. He's off being business drunk. Meanwhile,
how exactly is that different from us?
When I get paid for this.
I was going to say that he's being business drunk while here it's pleasure drunk, except there's no pleasure in this because it is superhero time.
And I'm not drunk because I can't drink.
Mickey's the only one who ever gets drunk when we're actually recording.
I could take a painkiller.
You could. I think you'd probably have to take 3 or 4 to get the desired result.
In time, anyway.
Right. Well, okay, so your job for next week is to take a painkiller, time it so that you're all loopy when we're actually here recording, and I will get all the intro quotes ever.
It's been a long time since I talked about pianists.
All right, there's one. So, yeah, while Mickey goes and gets to drink and be paid for it, I'm just stuck here with Ken, Fort Max, and Paladin. And nobody's giving me a damn thing.
I would say I'm sorry, but...
You're not.
I'm not.
You're Gigabeetle sorry.
I'm very Gigabeetle sorry, yes.
So, we don't have a power playback this week because we're going to be talking about the first episode of Ninja later. And last week when we talked about Dino Charge, it took almost an hour.
That's probably a good balance for the time being.
The bad thing is, that's without Mickey having watched the damn thing yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of concerned for our future, but we'll get there.
Well, look at it like this. By the time it goes into hiatus, Gaara will have started.
This is true. I mean, as good as the show is, it is still a Power Rangers series on Nick, which means we'll get 8 episodes, and then it will be off for 6 months.
Until October, yes.
So we don't really need to worry about the long-term effect this is going to have.
Exactly.
That's a very good point. I'm less concerned about things.
Yes.
Because Gaara will probably be over by October.
Yeah, see, it works out almost perfectly.
And in October, we'll have a new writer series, which hopefully we'll actually care about talking about.
God, I hope so.
Cross all your fingers.
And toes.
Well, as long as Riku Sanjo's not on it, it should be better chances.
Coming soon. New
Unless
head writer.
They find someone worse.
By the writer of Wizard.
Or Inoue.
Yeah.
Or Yonemura.
What did Yonemura do again?
Kabuto. Smile Precure.
That's I realize that's an odd contrast, but yes.
a bunch of the crossover writer movies.
All
okay,
the
so we're taking Yonemura as a good option.
Well, all the crossover no, we're talking
as
Let's
a step
Go
up
Kamen
from
Rider,
Drive, anyway.
Let's Go Kamen Rider, Superhero Taisen, Superhero Taisen Z.
So we're taking this as a good option.
Well, actually, he didn't write last year, so that's... it might not be that bad.
I liked Superhero Wars, and Superhero Wars Z was okay, too.
It was had its moments. Although it did revolve around Gavin trying to kill wizards, so
right.
This is a good point. it had a good amount, it had a decent amount of Go Busters in there. It's good. This is a good point.
Yes.
Well, it had a decent amount of
Yoko
being left behind by the other two Go Busters.
This is true, but I like all the Go Busters, so any Go Buster is good for me.
The only way Z would have been better is if the main plot was Yoko and Jay.
Yes. This is true.
Yeah. But I said that at the time when we actually were discussing...
Maybe I've been a bit hard on Yonemura, because now I see much worse.
It kind of seems that way, because like, you keep naming stuff, and it's like, well, that wouldn't be so bad to get something like that.
No, but it's like, I didn't like how Kabuto turned out. And then
you didn't like
it would
how
still be a step up from Drive.
You didn't like how it turned out, but the 40 episodes before that point were very enjoyable.
It's kind of like O's in that respect.
Except that with O's, it's the first like 25 episodes.
Yes, and even then, it took
and
me about maybe, 10 episodes.
And then that one about
it took me about 10 episodes to get
and
into.
And then
O's,
that one
so.
That gave us Uba being the being so boring in the most hilarious way possible.
Yeah, this is true. I think at some point Kobayashi
but
his, was.
But his plan was so practical. I mean,
it was.
It was boring.
He wasn't there for 10 episodes for a reason. But
it was boring as hell. But you have to give him points for practicality
and efficiency.
Yeah. He found the best way to do what he needed to without somebody coming and punching him in the face repeatedly.
And I'll even say this: Smile Precure isn't necessarily bad. It's just vapid. My reaction.
And then you got Smile, and that Smile Precure also had the other stuff that came after it.
Yes, but the thing about that is the reason I gave my infamous reaction to that versus GoBusters and the direction it was headed is that GoBusters up to that point was the exact opposite. It was very intricate, continuity heavy, plot focused. So if you were going to turn that on its head and turn it into something else, I was going like, oh my god, no.
Plus, Smile Precure also had that episode where Obari was brought on to anime.
I will admit to enjoying that, yes.
Blah, blah, pretty cure.
You're welcome. Go on.
Because either me or Paladin was going there, so...
Yeah, speaking of which, this happened this week.
Speaking of which? Do I want to know? Oh, God! Oh my god!
Okay, well, I know what we're putting up as the episode picture this week.
Yeah, I guess that.
True.
Hey, did you also see 50 Shades of Paladin?
What?
Hang on.
Oh my.
Nobody wants to see that.
Hang on. Here you go. Here you go.
I was expecting something much worse, to be honest.
It's all in what's implied, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your mind can imagine some. It's kind of like, when you see a horrible act of violence off screen, your mind imagines something much more horrible than it might be.
Mm-hmm.
This is very much the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, just the fact somebody went to the effort of doing this based on...
Two things.
Well, one very offhand reference and one, long-running joke through the whole episode.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that part is just, secondary to this. It's still...
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was very pleased to find this on Twitter one morning. So anyway.
I can die happy.
Don't give Paladin any ideas.
No, I guess I shouldn't.
Right, so what do we have on the show this week?
Let's see, regarding actual news?
I guess.
Well, at the end of this month, we're getting a special team-up between Drive and Ninja.
As expected, actually, after last year. So there,
if this is going to be a regular occurrence, I wish they would wait until the Sixth Ranger is introduced to do it.
At least further into the series. That's kind of the problem I have with... I had, when they were doing the Super Hero Titans and they were actually paying attention to the Sentais. Because, you would have the GoBusters show up at the beginning and end of the movie. And then the same thing happened with the Kyuriger. And then, Tokuser just showed up for, 2 minutes. Which, mm-hmm. The Ninja will show up for, 2 minutes in this one. But it's already after they've already started. Also, a problem Precure has, but you don't want to hear me talk about that.
You established that.
Yes.
It will be, look. Find what scenes they had after they cast people.
Yes.
Now, this is going to be like the Gaim Tokuger crossover where it runs in the regular time slot, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. No, I, like, just for obvious reasons, I really wish they had waited till Star Ninja was part of the show to run the crossover.
Star Ninja and Mach might be fun.
Possibly. Mm. You know what this means, though?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to technically have to watch an episode of Drive next month.
Oh. Oh. And I like Ninja too, so that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just a thing that we can, like, ignore because we don't care that much.
We can
much.
Just ignore the back half and therefore
we can
we'll
fast
only
forward.
Do the Sentai
but,
part.
But Drive's going to be in both halves, and so will the Ninjas.
Right.
No.
Right.
Oh, I'm depressed now. Well, hopefully next year's Rider and Sentai are both ones we enjoy.
I have bad news for you. 2016 is the year of Ghost Age Returns.
So that's the 40th anniversary, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
so they're content with ending at 40 then.
Apparently, let's end at 39, please.
And because of this, they're producing a Drive-based add-on for Shuriken Jin. And it's confirmed that in the Superhero Tyson Grand Prix, the Riders have their own giant robot now.
Yeah.
Rider Robo.
Yes.
Well, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jay, yeah. You're fired.
Like, okay, so, you know, Decade did the thing where he was able to grow big by, you know, mixing and matching attributes of different powers.
Well, it does actually show, Jay.
Well, that wasn't really mixing and matching. That's just straight up using Jay's.
And Jay is shown in that magazine shot fighting Rider Robo also, so.
Well, okay, so, like, yeah, he used Jay's power, but he also did the final common attack form ride to turn into the giant driver and then turn into Decade over Jay.
Now, the question about Rider
so
Robo
it was some
is,
stack.
Is it just Kamen Riders piloting it, or what?
It's probably three.
Probably
Rider C.
Three, but as we can see, Jay's fighting it, and we know Shurikenjin fights it, so.
So it makes sense for the villain to be in control of it.
Is he the villain, though?
Well, one would presume.
Until he was only pretending to be evil.
Or is it going to be like the end in the first Tyson?
Where he was the villain?
Randomly at the end, yes.
No, he was the villain the whole way through. Didn't you watch the movie?
Well, yeah, that's true.
He's DN. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Even when he's your friend, he's your enemy.
True.
DN is only friends with Treasure.
Yeah, but man, they sure waited a long time to show, oh, hey, there's Sentai in this movie. We totally didn't just shoot this 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, a week ago.
Well, which is it?
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, it could be worse. They could have shot this before they had a script.
No promises.
Are we sure they didn't?
Oh, come on. Toku has to have it a little more together than Transformers.
This is true.
Not really. I've seen stuff where it's obvious that they definitely were not shooting from the same script that ended up being ultimately used.
Such as?
Oh, there's this one episode where...
A Voyager?
There's
a
this
what?
One episode of Jack where it's completely obvious that the lead villain isn't saying anything remotely like what the audio has.
Okay, do you have an example from this century?
Oh!
No.
Ah. Like, not to be a dick, but, I mean, you know, that was the 70s, still, I believe. And,
yeah, there were a lot of drugs flying around then.
They were still flying around in the 80s and 90s, dude. Have you not watched Kaku Ranger and I know you've watched Bioman. We've talked about that repeatedly. Those drugs didn't go anywhere for quite a while. And hopefully with Ninja, they found a new stash. I have high hopes after episode 2.
I haven't had a chance to watch episode 2 yet, to be honest.
I saw the raw, that's good enough. Trust me, enough of that comes across without knowing all the dialogue. But that's another show. Or I wonder if Rider Robo might be Rider 4's thing.
No, Rider 4 is just the DVD special.
Right, he's not in the actual movie, I believe.
Right.
Which disappoints me.
Yeah, like the climax of the movie needs to have just like this series of numbered riders turn up.
Every
in increasingly cheaper suits.
Every subsequent one just kind of side eyes them. Like, I'm Rider 5 comes in, X is like, really?
When they get to Rider 12, he's just like a dude in shorts and a tank top and a plastic mask.
13 is.
He doesn't even have a belt.
Is just Shin.
Again.
Yeah. Still trying to find a place to fit in.
He switched sides.
Won't somebody love me?
No.
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 That happened once, and look what happened. We got the ending of 2001.
Point. Okay, so anyway.
Oh yeah, let's see. Other stuff this week, we got the first live-action image of the Star Ninja suit. And it looks like the Star Burger came off the dollar menu.
It is a little bit small for a prop.
It is, it is.
But again, Jeff, it's...
He looks a bit, not saying fat or anything, but he looks kind of stocky. I wonder if that's Shinken Gold's suit actor.
Probably.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Jiro.
Which isn't really a bad choice with that vest, you know, having somebody with a wider shoulders might not be a bad idea.
Right.
And apparently he's being introduced in April, which is a pretty early introduction for a Sixth Ranger.
Maybe that means we'll have a seventh.
That's the common theory right now.
Well, I mean, Kyoryu Gold came in really early, too, if I recall right, didn't he?
Yes.
What, episode, because like, 12?
10, more like.
10?
He's like 9 or 10, I think.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly because I stopped watching before then, but... So that's not too outlandish, and like Beat and Stag were 12 or 13 and Busters. So they sometimes roll them back a little earlier. I was actually surprised that number 6 took so long and took Huger back to where it used to be back in like 16, 17 or so.
Well, no, remember it used to be like, you know, 20 before you'd get the extra.
Then they kind of dialed back to about 17, episode 17, 18.
Yeah.
Then it went back even further, but I think that might have been a product. And GoBusters, I thought that was a product of the fact that Gokaiger, I think, ran like an extra week or so longer. And I figured they were just, you know, adjusting for that. Which might be the case here a little bit.
I think Star Ninja is too early in the development cycle where they would, you know.
Not necessarily, because remember, they filmed these episodes like a month, maybe 5 weeks-ish in advance. Hmm. And it wouldn't be hard to, you know...
I guess he could push up his debut.
It wouldn't be hard to drop, say, a single filler episode in that first dozen.
And put it back in later.
So that way they have the show sync back up with the toys.
On the other hand... And
all due out in April as well.
Right.
Hmm. So yeah, maybe.
They shoot in such a small time span, it is very possible for them to just... drop something here or shift it later in the series. That way they can sync back it with the toys, which you know they're going to want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Since those are already scheduled and they can't, you know, necessarily just be jiggered with.
Well, they could be more easily than, you know, with a week's notice pushing. Yeah.
Right, but it would actually probably be easier to just, you know, they probably have a filler episode in that first dozen.
I would imagine so.
They could probably do something with it.
It can always come later.
Or not at all.
And I definitely wouldn't object to a seventh member either.
No.
But what would his theme be? Like, Star Ninja's already the best possible thing this could give us. What's left?
Well, we already have a wizard. Oh, we'll get to that.
Maybe we could have, like, a Taco Ranger.
Is he going to be like Tequila Gundam?
Sure. And for the sake of puns, he will have an octopus zord. Octopus taco.
There's a metaphor in there somewhere.
Somehow it stands out to me that Star Ninja's shield is not cloth.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I was almost expecting that, and then I was like, oh no, this isn't early 90s Saban.
Well, you know, if he had, like, a poncho, it would make sense for it to be cloth, because it would need to move the right way.
Right, but this is just straight up, like, you know, a shield.
Cardboard,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like a Dragon Ranger shield.
Yeah, something like that.
It's kind of neat.
Yeah. Probably more flexibility for the stunt people, then.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine, you know, cloth would be the most flexible.
It would be, but...
Foam's good, too. I'm sure all the tassels are free-moving, anyway.
They don't look like it in the picture.
Oh, let's look again.
They look pretty static.
Oh, yeah, maybe they are. There's not really a space between them either. There's just grooves.
Yeah, it just looks like a static thing. Hmm. I was expecting tassels, so that threw me off. I'm not complaining. I can understand.
That looks breakable.
It does. Doesn't it?
It does.
We'll see, I guess. Notice any tape and cracks on it later in the series.
Well, there would be anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's a given, I guess, isn't it?
Well, look, we'll assign Mickey to look for cracks.
Starts looking like Ryuki's pants legs.
Oh, speaking of torn pants, I saw Legacy movie figures in person yesterday, actually.
Oh.
The sculpts actually look good, and they really do need, like, a wash or something. A wash or, like, full body paint to make the details pop. But, I mean, the sculpting is solid on them, from what I saw. I wasn't really inclined to spend $16 or $17 on one.
Yeah, they do seem kind of expensive for that price.
Well, okay, so, like, at the Toys R Us I was at...
They seem expensive for that price.
They had the movie Legacy figures there for, I think, $16.99, and right next to them they had the previous Legacy figures for $12.99. So,
like, how long ago did the first Legacy figures like that come out?
Last summer.
The value can't have dropped that much in an entire year, can it?
No, these movie ones are obviously being up-priced. Whether that's Toys R Us's fault or Bandai selling them to them at a higher price, I don't know.
I'm going to go with Toys R Us. Literally the same molds used as for the Super Megaforce Mighty Morphin figures.
Not the movie ones.
No, the first set of Legacy figures.
Right, those are cheaper ones.
Yeah.
The movie ones are $16.99 for no apparent reason because they're the same size, same complexity, and they don't have any greater deco because I was just saying they need more deco to look better.
Yeah. I'm saying if you're looking for someone to blame the price raise on, and one of the options is Toys R Us, it's Toys R Us.
Well, yeah, I wasn't sure where you were going with the Super Megaforce comparison in relation to that. No, but like they look fine. It's weird that the assortment is split, and Tommy's not even in the first wave.
Hooray!
How about that? And there was, like, many Ivan Ooze also, so that's not even, like, short-packed, apparently.
Then they won't
good.
Sell...
That's the one people probably want.
And they'll... Or else it'll go Rita Repulsa on us.
You mean its face will be melting off?
It's more like then she'll hang around for 2 years.
Or more.
Yes!
I'm pretty sure there's still some Kmarts out there where you can find Ritas.
If there are still some Kmarts.
We'll ask Mickey next week. We'll send him for a special report from a Kmart. No, if they were $12.99 like last year's Legacy figures were, I might have got one. I just don't feel them for $16-$17. And some places have them marked up to $20 also.
That definitely doesn't seem worth it to me.
No. But, you know, at least those designs finally have action figures.
I'm guessing someone will be thrilled about that.
Movie fans. Don't all speak up at once now.
Uh-huh.
So anyway.
Let's see, in other news, we got a full gallery of images for the Super Sentai Artisan Shinobi Maro this week.
Okay.
It's much more articulate, but it can't form the arm mode.
Well, that's kind of understandable.
And it costs 5378 yen before shipping and handling.
Is that 5378?
Yes.
Is that price with tax or without?
I'm guessing with.
That's
prices always include tax in
that's
Japan.
An unusual number.
It's an unusual item, to be honest.
It's less than than that Digivice.
It is. Of course, there's no electronics in this. This doesn't have a virtual pet in it, though, so it's, you know, worthless. You know what this needed, though? It needed a super articulated, well, not super, but it needed an articulated Wanmaru with a leash as an accessory.
Yes.
Yeah. Just, you know, walking my Zord. Now, I can understand this not being able to do the arm mode, since the arm mode basically relies on the deluxe toy being a brick. So...
it's an unfortunate sacrifice, I suppose.
Not really. You know, anybody who's going to get this is going to get it because they want a Shinobi Maru that can do what it does in the show individually. The fact that it can sit in Shurikenjin is itself, I think, just a bonus. Looks pretty good, though.
It's an interesting item, to be sure.
Mm-hmm. Next up?
Oh, yes, we also got official images for the next two. The Panmaru and UFO Maru.
What's Panmaru?
The elephant.
Ah.
I know I'm pronouncing it wrong somehow, sorry.
Yep, those sure are deluxe toys. Although, looking at the elephant, I kind of would like to see a transformer along the same pattern. Where, you know, it turns into a robot with the legs and everything being big missile batteries, but actually has, like, functional arms because it's a transformer and not a Bandai design. As it is, I'm mildly insulted by the implied fist stuck to the side of the elephant head.
They're okay, all things considered, I guess.
For a certain value of okay.
For Zord value of okay.
Hmm. Well, there's certainly no, what's named, the ninja thing from Gokaiger.
For Imaru?
Okay. It's certainly not one of those.
Now, do you mean that as a positive or negative?
It's certainly not one of those.
All right, then. And I think that's about everything that happened this week, unless you want to pad this out and talk about Drive's ugly new form.
Oh, that thing is terrible. Like, I thought Dead Heat was bad, but Formula is, like, the worst thing.
Hmm.
Why does every Drive suit look worse than the one before?
That's kind of impressive, really, to be honest.
The only upgrade form that looked better than what came before it was the black one, Type Wild.
Yeah, I believe that's Wild.
That's the only one that looked better than what came before it.
So that's
meanwhile, in good looking stuff, pre-orders are open for Watermelon Zangetsu and Apple Baron.
Oh, yeah.
So, Formula his final form?
No. The next one is, supposedly final, is Type Tridoron.
Oh, well, I guess that makes sense.
But there's also apparently a sound in the Drive Driver for something called Type Over.
Okay.
That just means the,
I wish I could muster the ability to care.
That just means the show was over.
Oh, yeah, that's Drive.
Yeah, it's just saying, okay, good, we're done now.
Something cool finally happened.
Although Drive's apparently ripping off Car Ranger now for some reason.
Yeah, this past week's episode, he used Car Ranger's roll call motions and poses.
And that is apparent, and the sad thing is that apparently was the most interesting thing about the episode.
Well, that depends how you feel about a roid mute who's addicted to anime. And has been a doppelganger of one of the regular cast for probably most of the show. And has been doing his job for him part of the time.
I think it's Drive, so I don't care.
Okay. That's pretty much correct. So, are we out of news?
I believe so now, yes.
Should I interpret the continuing silence to that effect?
It's usually a good idea.
Nothing about this is a good idea. Ken, start pulling more weight.
I can't gain anything even when I try.
Well, pull Paladin's weight, then.
I don't think I can do that.
You don't want him to hurt himself.
Well, yeah, but pulling Fort Max is easy. I could pick up Fort Max. Unless Fort Max has put on some weight since 2012.
Maybe a pound or two.
You're a tiny person, Fort Max. I hate you for it. Like, I'm thrilled if I can just stay around 240.
The thing about it is like, I can't get far over 160 even if I try. And yet, it all goes into one place, so it looks like I'm fatter than I am.
Your ass?
No, my stomach.
Oh. I mean, I can understand you not being able to put on weight since you can't eat anything.
Basically, yeah. Without it going straight through me.
Right.
Effectively, yeah.
I think you'd have to, like, load up on, you know, straight sugar to affect the weight gain.
That doesn't even...
That doesn't work either.
That'll be an especially painful exit, though.
It's like a blessing and a curse, in a way. Much more of a curse than a blessing, I'll tell you that much.
Perhaps if you drank some oil.
No, let's not say we didn't.
I mean, you could just not tell Gigabeetle you did. You'd probably make his day.
Yeah, but then he'll, if he hears this, then, you know.
Well, it's not like Gigabeetle listens to the show.
Anymore.
Okay,
he's not on this episode, is he?
No. The once he's on, he listens to multiple times. The rest he just listens to once. According to Gigabeetle.
We can't trust what he says.
Because he's Swedish?
That's
or insane. They both work.
Well, one might be related to the other.
I don't think we can prove that, though.
How many Swedish people do you know?
At
like
least
that Swedish
one.
That Swedish chef, he's kind of nuts.
Good food, though.
So, like, if you take Swedish chef and Gigabeetle and use them as a representative sample, you can say quite definitively all Swedish people are insane. This is science. I mean, you can't argue with that. So, Dino Charge?
Yeah, I guess we should go ahead with that, shouldn't we?
You say that like it's a bad thing. Dino Charge is the best Power Rangers series we've had since RPM.
This week, we'll take a Green Ranger focus episode and make it a Blue Ranger focus episode successfully.
Yeah, to the point where you can't really tell.
Oh, yeah. That's...
The only thing that shows it is the Zords.
Basically.
Yeah.
We'll get to the specifics there, I guess.
So, Paladin, were you doing this or the Ninja?
I believe I volunteered for this.
Did you volunteer for this?
I gave him the option on Twitter because I knew I wasn't going to have time to prepare a summary for either one myself.
Ah, okay.
And I volunteered for Dino Charge because I can pronounce most of the things in Dino Charge.
You know, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. But with all the Hasbro Toy Shop stuff this afternoon, I kind of got behind schedule.
It's no Kyoru Roger.
Can you imagine what JD would be doing with Ninja?
Oh my god. It would be amazing.
Yeah. So anyway.
So it starts off with the opening narration that I'm starting to hate.
That's all the Neo Saban Power Rangers shows, though. Get ready for 36 more episodes of it.
But I mean... As stuff goes to be offended by, that's really minor.
Yeah.
You can fast forward through that part if you're not watching live, which who watches live TV anymore anyway?
Live TV.
It's all DVRs and, like, you know, online players. And
only if you have a cable provider.
I don't know. I have it without a cable provider.
Yeah. Well, I have a cable provider,
but you know they sync up with Nickelodeon.com.
Oh well, Paladin. If you want to install Python on your computer, cable provider or not, you can get the episodes off the website.
Okay.
Because I totally did without any credentials from my cable provider. Let's just put it this way. It's not very secure. Of course, you'll be downloading like the HD versions, which are 500, 600, 700 megabytes each.
Hmm.
Not sure if that's a problem for you.
Eventually, it might be.
Well, I meant more in your computer's ability to play it back.
No, not playback's not usually
it's
a
not
problem.
10-bit, so... I mean, these are files that are designed to that are specifically designed to play over a web browser.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Paladin lives in Detroit. There's no telling. I mean, he could be on the internet on a burning trash can or something.
That's close enough to a toaster.
You're right. I hadn't thought of it that way. Good point.
Okay, so back to the episode.
If we must. We could keep saying mean things about you and the life you lead if you want.
Let's talk about Dino Charge, though.
You'll do that during the episode anyway, so let's go on with Dino Charge and have some fun.
All right. Well, I'm having a lot of fun as it is. I think what you mean to say is that you want to have some fun, too.
Well, Dino Charge is the closest I can get right now, so... We cut to Coda carving symbols on a wall when he cracks open and finds the blue energem. So we're actually getting to meet him in the past 100,000 years ago. This is that scene they keep playing in the intro.
This was in the past when he was a Pokemon. Well, see, all his people were Pokemon. They can only say their own names, and it just kind of got reversed where, like, you know, the little kid we see in a minute is actually Coda, but when he woke up, it was the first thing he remembered hearing, and he just assumed that was his name. But we never hear them say anything but names.
It does make sense that they don't justify a language.
No, his little brother is Taku.
Or was he Taku?
Oh, God. And the power chamber's in the basement. Let's move on. We've been talking for 5 minutes and we're, like, 5 seconds into the episode.
It's almost like you're doing the summary, Ken.
Almost!
Look, there's only four of us this week. We have to make up time somewhere.
No, we don't.
By make up time, I mean create more.
Oh, God, this is going to be a long episode. Paladin! Summary!
And the little brother, whatever the hell his name is confronted by a horrible CGI saber-toothed tiger.
The tiger is hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't think that dinosaurs in the first episode were that impressive, but this is really bad.
The dinosaurs in the first episode aren't any better or worse than Toei's.
I think they were the same models.
They're not, because the T-Rex is different.
Oh, yeah, right.
We've had others. Yeah, even though it does in the stock footage. But regardless, he was molting. We discussed this last week.
Yeah.
That saber-toothed tiger is terrible, but it's fine. It's only there for like 5 seconds.
So no, only do the front half of it.
Let's
anyway.
Think, how much effort are you going to put into something that you're only going to use for those, you know?
I bet they didn't even have a back half, the model.
Probably didn't.
Because you only ever see it from directly the front.
Right.
So Coda charges through the gate, through the cave, tackles the saber-toothed tiger, and they both fall off a cliff. At which point the energem starts glowing. right before he hits the water at the bottom.
Or ice, or... something.
Rock.
Something in between there.
He hit something eventually.
So apparently that's when he got frozen and only woke up 100,000 years later.
Or buried or whatever.
Okay, so he wasn't... This is why he's not Vandal Savage. Got it.
No, yeah, instead he's basically Aang.
Basically, yeah.
Or, you know, like we were talking about before, he's the Encino Man.
So, Coda wakes up back in the... Did we come up with a name for their base or not?
Well, we were calling it the Power Chamber because it's in the basement of the museum.
Okay, so Coda wakes up in the Neo Power Chamber, shirtless once again, and goes
no,
out
no,
to...
No, no, just Power Chamber.
And he goes out to investigate the motorcycle that's in the basement as well.
It woke him up by roaring at him.
The part here with I'll admit, I laugh pretty good at the part here with Chase.
Come over and take a squiz?
Yeah. Everybody just turns and you're like,
the hell did he just say?
It was probably, like, the hell did he just say? Whatever it was probably dirty.
Honestly, given Chase's character,
it certainly sounds it.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing this is...
That was pretty much the same reaction that I had.
Yeah, I think that's intentional. That's one of those, you know...
Yeah.
It's very intentional.
One of those wink and nudge moments.
But I think it's clear that's a New Zealand term that us Americans just don't know, I think.
It's a real term, too.
Yeah, so, you know... But it's a nice way to use his heritage in a way that's kind of almost making fun of us.
I don't know. We don't say squiz.
That's,
that's kind of my point. Like, who is it really making fun of since
the show
treats him like a lunatic for speaking Kiwi?
Yeah, but he just kind of shrugs it off, though. So it's fine.
That's because he has no social awareness.
Or he just doesn't give a shit. I'm not sure which it is.
It's a fine line.
Yes.
So, Coda's response is to attack the motorcycle with a stick.
Or try to.
No, he attacks it. That doesn't require it actually having an effect.
Well, this is true. But what does his attack have an effect on?
Well, when Shelby tries to calm him down and explain things, he flips out and destroys her cell phone.
Well, it was ringing. That's annoying.
That was a greatly timed moment, though. It's like,
yeah.
Ring, smash.
Well, and then you get Chase again. That's okay. It's completely understandable, right, Shelby?
She was like, "Oh, you know, we can understand why you would be freaked out by noises and modern technology." Ring,
ring, ring.
No,
ring,
my
ring,
phone. Ring. What's wrong with you?
This is why you silence your electronics before the feature presentation.
But the thing about this I like about this is that it kind of just shows this thing. It's like, yeah, they get along, but there's still, you know, there can still actually be friction between the characters just because she just kind of gives them that, you know, eat shit and die look.
Oh, well, I mean, there's another point besides that when Coda comes out of the cave and Shelby's explaining what's going on and she calls Kendall by her first name.
Kendall
gives her a death glare.
Yeah, it's just like this quick, subtle moment.
Yeah.
But
I wasn't watching very closely the first time. I had to run it back when I noticed how she was glaring at her. And yeah, I mean, that was it. It went perfectly.
Perfectly.
What?
Sound like you were trailing off there for a second.
Huh. This thing's still working?
I think so.
It sounded like you were in the middle of a sentence. You said it went perfectly. And
like you had a thought that you were trying to continue.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. That.
No, just the timing and everything was perfect on that. And yeah, it was really subtle too, which was nice. They didn't call attention to it, but if you're paying attention, it's really apparent what's going on. It's not beating you over the head like the previous series have done in more than a few cases.
Which is a very refreshing change of pace.
Yeah, I'm happy with this.
So, Chase decides to pair up with Coda and teach him how to ride the motorcycle because Chase has ridden everything from skateboards to kangaroos.
Wait a minute.
Because somehow there are kangaroos in New Zealand.
Yeah, except he gets called on that.
And doesn't try to talk himself away from it or anything.
Right. Also, how do you ride a kangaroo?
I'm guessing it doesn't involve the pouch.
Guess it depends, you know, how they like it.
I do like that, though, because it's like, he's just so bullshitting them.
Right. That's kind of the point.
I know.
So, meanwhile, up on Sledge's ship, he selects a new monster to go down and try to take back the Energems from the Rangers.
The way
so he has in his jail a jail monster.
Yes, he does!
Now, you know what would have been a good way to handle this is to have that monster, like, be in the background of the first episode or two, you know, walking the corridors as like jailer. The warden. Yeah.
Honestly, they could have gotten away with making him a regular character almost.
Yeah, if they really wanted to.
But they have enough of those.
Yeah, pretty much. Because Fury wasn't even in this episode, hardly.
And
one line?
We have somebody to meet here in a minute, but we'll get to that. I have things to say about that.
Apparently Poisandra is bored being stuck up on the ship all the time, so Sledge has Wrench build her a friend.
Out of spare monster parts, which he just says, you know, offhandedly, while you're sitting there staring in horror at the fact he just said that.
Because they have spare monster parts lying around.
They have a lot of spare monsters.
We were wondering what where that suit was from Kyoryuger.
Yeah.
And there it is.
Kyoryu.
So
Kyoryu.
So now we've gone from one of the most innocuous Sentai villains of all time to one of the most horrifying Power Rangers villains ever, just by their origin. That's impressive.
I mean, he's no hand puppet, but...
No. I said villain. Wait.
Yeah. And?
I'm talking about Power Rangers, not Sentai there.
Well, wait until 20... what? 17?
When they adapt Ninja. And completely skip Tokuger because trains.
But Zord Builder trains would be the best thing.
Oh god, they would.
Yeah. I mean, at least that would work more with the Zord Builder format than GoBuster's stuff. Yeah. It's too bad Mickey's not here. He actually got his Buster Hercules. He could have talked more toys at us. Anyway.
So, Coda is out trying to learn to ride a bike with training wheels that they've obtained somehow.
You know you can, like, go to the store and get training wheels, right?
Yeah, but it appears to be a child-sized bike, so I'm wondering if anyone raised an eyebrow at that.
What other sizes have training wheels?
They don't really make training wheels for adult-sized bikes.
I'm betting someone does.
Okay, can you go to a Walmart or whatever they have in New Zealand and get adult training wheels just off the shelf?
No, probably not. But right, the point is, Coda fails spectacularly.
You know, failing when you're on a bike with training wheels is kind of a special accomplishment.
And afterwards, he laments several other things he does not fully understand, like television.
I love the sequence.
Yes.
Television, combs, and glass.
The glass part had me cracking up.
Yeah. He's like a dog.
Or a bird.
It is pretty good, yeah. What makes it better is he's carrying drinks at the same time.
Yeah. Well, see, you need that, though, for the drinks to splatter against the glass so you can, like, perceive the surface, because until he does that, you can't tell the glass is there either.
You can't.
That sequence was really, really good.
It was. Just the timing of it.
As he finishes that story, he can add automatic sprinklers to that list.
Well, after, you know, Chase tries to, you know, check out some ladies walking across.
And get shot down again.
He's such an asshole. I enjoy it so much, too. It's just after the past 4 years, it is so refreshing to have somebody that's just kind of... He's kind of a douche. He's not a bad guy, but he's kind of a douche.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he's genuinely trying to help Coda. It's just... He's also a dude, bro.
He comes off as less unlikable than Zane.
Oh, God. Zane was
In terms of, you know, Power Rangers douches in history.
Yeah, I mean, Zane's just... Zane's a real douche. Like I said, Chase is just... He's just kind of a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Man, for good and bad.
until he starts trying to take advantage of
Coda's
people
sister.
Who think he's dying.
Oh.
Well, yeah. This is why Zane is King Douche.
I love how Power Rangers just completely made that up for that episode.
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't there an equivalent in Mega Ranger?
Yes, but here, But Mega Silver has no idea that they think he's dying.
Right.
Zane does.
Yeah.
And plays along with it.
Yeah.
To get squeeze every last bit of sympathy out of them that he can.
Mega Silver was just, you know, not aware.
He's just like, huh.
Are you guys
okay? These people are being oddly nice. Okay. Sure.
But yeah, the automatic sprinkler system scares the shit out of him. That's a nice jump back from the actor, too.
Yeah.
And at that moment, a cage comes flying through the middle of the air, lands on Chase, and teleports him out of there.
Whoops. Yay, special effects. They don't suck.
So when the monster comes through again to try and trap Coda, he is able to block away the cage, and then pick up a nearby shovel, and then go hand-to-hand with the monster.
I like this theme in Dino Charge of improvised weapons.
Yeah, they just pick up whatever.
This is the second time they've used a shovel, too.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, fence posts, shovels.
Bananas. More shovels.
Now, the thing I really like about this unmorphed little skirmish here is when, after the monster, you know, knocks the shovel away and kicks Coda across the ground, when he rolls and then bounces, that looks painful as hell.
And remember, Coda started out as a stunt actor, so he did most of his own stunt work here.
Yeah.
Did he?
And mm-hmm. But just something about that bounce just makes it look so much more painful. and a bit more dynamic, too. It's not like he just rolled away and suddenly ended up at the stairs. No, he bounced from that piece of grass all the way over the fountain to the stairs, it looked like.
Yes, I'm sure that wasn't comfortable.
No. It's fine as a caveman. He can take it.
After falling down the stairs, he comes right in front of another kid on a bike when another cage comes flying down, so he tackles the kid, but he, the kid, and the bike all get caught in the cage.
Good job, Coda.
Good effort. You were trying.
It's a gold
star. So they land up right next to Chase, who tells him he can't morph, and the kid has apparently broken his leg in the transportation.
Or in the crash, whatever.
Or the tackle.
Yeah, I really think it's more that Coda broke his leg. Like, that seems like the most likely thing to have happened.
Also, one thing I noticed...
Still a better track record than Keeper.
In this episode, now that we get more exposure to Coda, the way he talks isn't really annoying me as much. I don't know if that's just me, but it doesn't really faze me any now.
I think, like, there's more focus on him trying to talk in this episode, so it, like, in the previous episodes, his dialogue has not been a point of focus, so it's faster, but it's still broken.
Yeah,
because it has to happen.
A bit more natural now.
Yeah, and before it was just, oh, he's a caveman. Okay.
Like, at least since, you know, there was focus, so, like, they took the time to show him actually struggling to speak correctly.
Speak, come up, remember, see what words are, how to associate them.
Yeah. Like, it plays better in focus than it does with him just on the sides. So, like, if this kept up for a long period, it would still be irritating, but...
it's a 20-minute episode.
Yeah, and they handled it right for this instance. I still want his speech to improve as the series goes on.
Well, now that we know where he comes from, I could see that progressively, bit by bit, improving.
Yeah. Also, to Fort Max's point from a minute ago, if it was Keeper, he would have led by saying, "Nice leg you got there. It'd be a shame if something happened to it."
Yeah. I don't think he would have saved the kid either.
No, he would have, but then killed everyone else later.
Or left Chase to fend for himself.
No, he would have put a bomb in the cage and then sent it back, killing Chase in the process.
He would have left the kid to fend for himself.
Yeah, we need the Rangers. They're more important.
You would have given the kid a energem and then let him fend for himself.
Yeah.
Oh, Keeper.
So also we also get a moment here of, you know, handing a child actor live fire.
Yeah, that was interesting to me. I want to know how many people were just on the other side of the camera ready to, you know, hose the kid down in case he immolated himself. And I also wonder which Timmy this is. Like, how many have they gone through in the process of shooting this?
The triplets. No.
Not anymore.
No, that's just an old child.
So after Coda breaks out of the cage and builds a splint for the kid's leg and then starts fire, like you said, he decides he has to try and lead the kid out of the cage so he can see a doctor. So he finds which way the wind is blowing by looking at the fire and puts the kid on his back to carry him out of the cave.
There's a surprising amount of I guess surprising because I'm not used to this in Power Rangers over the last year.
Yeah, that's why it's surprising.
There's a lot of thought put into, you know, just the way he gets out, especially once he gets to, you know, finding direction.
Well, right. Like, they actually considered, you know, somebody who is in a survival situation as a way of life, you know, what tricks would they use to get the information they need with sticks, literally.
Right. And sure, it's simplified because it's a kid's show, but it's actually well done.
I kind of, like, I want to think they, you know, found some local, like, guide or something. You know, somebody who, like, takes people on wilderness tours who has that kind of experience and just, you know, gave them $50 to consult for the day on the script.
Well, considering, you know, New Zealand is really a beautiful country, that's got to be a booming business there anyway.
Right, yeah. No, but I mean, like, the point is, like, I would like to think they actually got a professional to come in and tell them, you know, in this situation with these tools, this is what you can do that, you know, is realistic.
It would not surprise me.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. So, meanwhile, back at the cafe, Kendall, I mean Ms. Morgan, is upset. Is upset because Chase and Coda are late. The others brush that off because Chase is always late. Once again,
and Coda doesn't
cave.
Know what time is. It's not just that he can't tell time, he doesn't know what time is. And Kendall does not disagree with this outcome either.
No.
But she points out that they are not answering the DinoComs equipment, which is definitely eyebrow raising, so they take out the motorcycles to go and look for them.
The motorcycles?
I was hiccuping, sorry.
Oh. You say ow when you hiccup?
I was trying to stifle it. So anyway,
you did a bad job of it.
I've noticed.
Well, come on.
So as Coda tries to figure out which path to take, the kid pulls out his phone and tries to teach Coda how to use the GPS.
Now, I like that Coda jumps.
Yeah. I'm like, oh god, it's gonna ring again.
Well, didn't the phone
can't
actually
hit this one with a stick because that will set the kid on fire?
Didn't the phone beep when the kid took it out, too?
Yes.
Wasn't that why you jumped?
Uh-huh. But that's actually kind of clever, because it's like, well, yeah, of course, that's what you... In today's modern age, that's what you do if you're lost. You pull out your phone and your GPS.
I like the conceptual level of this, too, which is have a kid teach Coda these basic concepts because Coda is on the level of a child when it comes to these things.
And, well, let's be real, they're only basic concepts by a matter of, like, 7 years. Nowadays,
yeah,
we have quickly become, you know, accustomed to that being, you know, standardized when a decade ago it wasn't.
Anything that lets us be more lazy, we easily adopt.
Yes, exactly. It's the American way.
Yes, it is.
So, using the new dino cycles, the Rangers find a strange energy field in the mountains, which is probably where Chase and Coda are. So Shelby steals Tyler's Jeep, and they all go head out to see what's out there.
Look, if he left the keys on the counter, it's not stealing.
And plus, they only have the two cycles.
Well, the two cycle props, anyway. They probably all get them. So they arrive at the cave just in time to see Coda heroically charging out with most of his shirt gone, carrying the kid.
Because the monster chased after and started shooting them.
Right.
He started shooting them from behind while the kid was hanging off of Coda's back, so draw your own conclusions. Now, if it was Keeper, he would have turned around and held the child. My survival is of the utmost priority.
I like that we have a replacement for Ticket.
It's well-timed.
It is, isn't it?
I hope Keeper does something horrible again next time he shows up.
You know, the thing is, though, Keeper can do nothing else for the entire rest of the series, and that'll be fine, because we can keep drawing these conclusions. And I'm not sure if there's anything he can do that will ever dissuade these conclusions, either, because these are things he has done.
Yeah, and we can use it as a basis to interpret as anything else he does as being, you know...
Like the two big dick moves he's done, you know, killing all the dinosaurs and leaving the Power Rangers to die, are things
after,
that he's
after
done.
Basically daring his arch enemy to kill them.
Yes, these are things that he has done.
Yeah,
and even the Rangers are like, dude.
Wait, what?
Maybe Chase isn't the king after all.
I'm glad that Kendall's the one that's around most of the time.
Yeah,
she's a bitch, but she won't kill us.
Probably not.
Well, if people keep calling her Kendall, she might.
No, just Shelby.
Just Shelby. Everybody else is fine.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Morgan decides to take the kid to the hospital so the Rangers can stay and morph.
And we get a roll call!
Yeah.
Which I found kind of odd to have that for the first time when all five of them aren't there.
That's the thought of Carrier, because Black had not joined yet in this episode, and this is why Chase is locked away.
I'm just saying, like, they didn't have to use this footage here necessarily.
They didn't, but I like that it's there, and I hope it stays there, because I like roll calls. That's
no, no, my point is just, like, they could have waited until a moment when all five were there and then run a full roll call. It's just weird for them to debut it with only four of them.
They could have, yeah.
What I object to is the motto they're attaching at the end of the roll call.
It's not as bad as we've had.
It's still bad, though.
It's an episode
that doesn't really need padding.
The thing that bugs me is, well, for one thing, they've been aping Kyoryuger catchphrases in Dino Charge when the fighting starts the whole time.
Yeah.
And the other thing related to that is the dialogue during the fights has been basically the same lines every fight. And it's getting boring and repetitive. Like, it's no surprise that the stock footage stuff is going to be the least interesting part of these episodes, considering what we're getting in the non-Ranger parts.
Honestly, though, in this episode, I kind of like the stock footage part better, because they repeat attack phrases and catchphrases and whatnot, but there's also not too much unnecessary chatter this time, which I prefer.
It's just, you know, it's all the same stuff that we've heard in the last three episodes.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe keep it minimal, but have some different stuff.
Maybe, but in this episode, really most of it is just, like, attack phrases, so...
Well, the fights themselves are still fairly well shot, even though the editors missed a Gabu Terra label on Red's battery.
Considering all the ones that they haven't, that's impressive.
And the thing is, too, there's so much else going on with this episode, it may have come down to a matter of cost or time and not being able to switch out that one little bit for a new stock footage sequence.
Or it's just an easy thing to miss, because they do so much of it in Kyoryuger.
Either way, just like, you know, there's realistic reasons that could have gotten overlooked.
Considering that change is so relatively insignificant, I didn't notice it when they first did it, and I didn't notice it when they missed it.
I don't know if I would have noticed if I didn't already see someone call it out before I watched the episode.
Same. Yeah, and I didn't, because I try to watch the episodes as blind as possible, so...
Well, you know what? You aren't on Twitter, hardly.
Yes.
So it's a lot easier for you to avoid anything.
There are reasons for that.
Yeah.
So after that, the monster grows giant, and it's time for another Megazord fight.
And then just out of the blue, it's time for Green to have his Zord, because we say so.
Yeah, because it's this was a Soji episode. Which amuses me, because, you know, it's still
because
works.
Because he's not Black.
However, they almost succeeded in getting away around that by sending the Triceratops in to rescue Chase.
And nearly drill his head off.
It missed by inches. It's fine.
There's no tension between Shelby and Chase at all. You realize he's going to, off screen, he's probably ragging her about that shit too.
I think Kendall. I think Kendall would let it slide because it was Chase.
Yeah, but on the other hand, would she because it's Shelby?
Right.
601 there.
Yeah.
I don't think she minds Chase. It's
no, because Chase actually, like, you know, follows orders.
He's a good soldier.
Yeah. Like, that's his role on the team at this point.
Yeah, he is kind of the experienced one.
Well, like, I think him and Coda have equal experience as being Rangers, but Chase is the one that actually has the
experience of modern society.
Yeah.
And yet no social skills.
He thinks he has social skills.
That's the problem.
That's the hilarious part.
Yeah.
I don't call that a problem. That's actually interesting.
So with the monster finally defeated, they catch up with the kid whose leg is apparently fine, and they give him a new bicycle as a reward.
Yeah, so the kid takes after Keeper.
And as a way of saying thank you, the kid tries to teach Coda how to ride a bike this time. And the episode ends right before he probably crashes into those trees.
Or goes right off the cliff. At least it wasn't a segue.
I imagine what's happening is that baby stroller just going down that same stretch of sidewalk over and over from season 2.
Oh, Lord.
Because they need to add 20 minutes to that story. And I'm barely even exaggerating.
So, yes, Dino Charge is still very good.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I think this is the episode I've liked best since the first one.
Oh. Yeah, it was really good. I mean, it's hitting a nice level of consistency, too, on top of that. Like, it's not a fluke at this point. We're a month in.
Well, like, I like this gave context to what Coda's deal is,
right,
for one thing.
Yeah.
And also, like, this is, in terms of having character focus, this is the best we've gotten since the first episode.
Right, because
since it basically just puts everybody else on the side and focuses on Chase and Coda for the first 10 minutes.
Right, and it's like what I said last week, is like the first 3 episodes were set up. They all ran into each other, and once you had the Megazord, once they had the Megazord and all the villains established, there we go.
Yeah.
We get Kirio in this episode, but, you know, only like for 5 seconds offhandedly.
Right. Just to establish the suit being around.
That way, when we hit the Sentai footage with Poisandra and Kirio's around, we'll know. They don't have to cut around that now.
Yeah. No, Dino Charge is maintaining a level of consistent quality. I'm very happy with it. And, you know, I genuinely laughed at several points in the episode. Which...
Yeah. I think at this point, is it so much at a point of consistent quality, we can actually stop calling out the fact that it has consistent quality. Because we keep doing it. It's almost like this, like, instinctive knee-jerk, no, that can't be right. This feels wrong.
Be right. It's Power Rangers.
I know.
And yet we're all enjoying it.
It's Neo Heisei Saban Power Rangers. It can't be true.
And it's like every episode I start up, I like almost have this knee jerk reaction, like this isn't gonna be the one. Okay, no, okay, good. We're good. I'm usually sure we're good after like the first 10 seconds.
So basically, what you've got going on is like you're treating this like Russian roulette. We're
eventually going to have Zazor back in the credits. Is what you're fearing, pretty much.
Oh, that hurts me in places.
It's like, it's Judd Lynn, not Zazor. We're good. Thank God.
Yes! It's like, okay, yeah, we're still good. I wasn't imagining things. It's almost like this, like it's like this post traumatic stress. Like
you're having flashbacks.
Yeah, just like, it's like
you can hear the helicopters in the distance.
It's like you hear, but no, you know, at this point though, I think we're past that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like this is going downhill at all, so...
Yeah. My point is, we keep saying that every week, and it's like, I'm starting to notice, I'm like, you know, maybe we, you know, I think it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I guess we'll find out next week.
We'll talk about that in the same discussion next week. It'll be episode 40, and we're like, well, you know, it was a train wreck.
Well, after episode 40, we probably will, because we'll be looking back at the whole series and talking about...
Yeah, that's true.
So that was probably a bad example to use.
That's a year away now, at least.
Over a year away. That'll be the end of next year.
It'll be the end of 2016.
So that's still like 2 years away. Okay, let's take a break and we'll talk about Ninja for probably the same amount of time we just talked about Dino Charge.
Christ.
You're right, we don't need power playback.
Go, go, Podcast Rangers! You mighty morphing Podcast Rangers! Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?
It's the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Teenage Defenders of Earth. The Power Rangers are driven by the power of the ancient dinosaurs. Lately, evil space aliens have become a real safety hazard. Earth's only hope, the Power Rangers.
Oh yeah? No one can stop us. Just let them try. Okay.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, too hot to handle.
Mr. Bucket!
That's right! I'm Mr. Bucket! I'm Mr. Bucket. Toss your balls in my top, I'm Mr. Bucket. Out of my mouth and will pop, I'm Mr. Bucket. Walk and run, I'm Mr. Bucket.
The game's Mr. Bucket. The first to get their balls into Mr. Bucket wins, but look out, because the balls will pop out of his mouth.
I'm Mr. Bucket. The balls pop out of my mouth, I'm Mr. Bucket. A ball is what I'm about, I'm Mr. Bucket. We're all gonna run, I'm Mr. Bucket. Bucket the fun!
And now, back to action with Superhero Time.
So, in place of power playback this week, we have ninjas.
Nin-nin.
She became a vampire ninja.
Destroy!
Sure.
Thank you. That would have been funnier if you'd not waited for 10 seconds, but okay.
Or did that make it funny?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I can always remove the 10 seconds in editing.
Damn it, you could.
There's a reason we don't do this show live.
Anymore.
I think we've only done it live twice.
You did it twice?
In 5 years.
When was the second?
JD streamed a show without any of you knowing once.
What?
Yep. I know because I listened to it.
When was this?
Well,
I think that was the week he was off, and we got the Tokyuja reveal.
Really?
I don't know.
It
was at some point between the time we had JD and the time we didn't have JD.
I think I might have missed that, because I remember listening to the Tokyuja reveal, but not being here.
I don't remember if the Tokyuja reveal was part of that or not.
Mm. Well, I remember it as part of it, because people kept asking me for more train puns.
Now, define people.
Giga Beetle. So it's a loose definition.
He's Swedish, you know.
Okay, anyway.
Ninjas.
Ninjas. Shuriken Sentai Ninja. So let's see. Where are we? Starting.
The first episode.
Yes. No, I was further into the first episode, so I had to go back. So, anyway, to the beginning. Yes, shut up. This is getting to a good start. Yeah. We are greeted with a young man walking towards a ninjutsu dojo, which promptly blows up in his face.
Oh.
This is a good way to start.
Yeah.
This young man is Takaharu, right? Yes, yes.
Yes.
If you say so.
Takaharu, sees a bunch of minions wandering up to the wreckage, and as one tries to stab him in the back, well, he promptly cuts him down, takes out several others with a red shuriken, and transforms into Akaninja. And then we have the first episode opening of Shinikinja. I mean...
You know, There's a lot of stuff I've seen in the first two episodes that remind me of how Shinkinger was produced, so...
Well, it is the same
It's not hugely a negative, though.
That is the same director. It's also the same director of Tokyuger.
Well, but, okay, so... Well, yeah, but Tokyuger didn't have any of those signs, that's the thing.
Yeah, well... Yeah.
And no, it's not a bad thing since Ninja is actually fun from the beginning and not, you know, Shinkinger at the beginning.
But Shinkinger was fun at the beginning.
No, it wasn't, Ken.
I probably wouldn't be here if I hadn't saying that. So regardless. So yeah, instead of actual opening sequence, we get the Takaharu beating the shit out of minions left and right, and some of it's actually kinda brutal. Such as where he chucks his sword like a javelin into one of their chests. And through their chest.
It is a very impressive opening fight.
It is. It's very nice.
And I like the opening theme, too.
So, yeah. I like the opening thing now better when it's set to actual footage, even if it's just a fight. But, you know, it's a very flashy, nice opening. And a good fight. But, you know, it's just basically that. Until he blows up all the minions. So he goes to survey the wreckage and promptly starts getting yelled at by his little sister, Fuka.
Yeah, no one's going to missay that name at all.
So Fuka gets onto him for, you know, wandering around and just swinging
around.
And blowing up the temple and swinging around the sword like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Like it was all his fault when he just walked up to it, but you know, considering the way he acts in this episode and the next, I can see how she would get that impression. So I can't really blame her. And in fact, actually, I think she's my favorite character so far because I like the way she reacts to everything. It's very realistic in a way. It's like, why am I the only normal person around here? Why are all these people?
She's like a regular person who got stuck in a Car Ranger episode.
Yes, she is! So they can't find their grandfather, and I can only find a picture of their grandfather.
Well,
is he assumed dead already? Oh, yeah.
He was assumed dead before the temple blew up.
He's dead.
He's dead! Right, okay, moving on.
She's praying to grandfather in heaven that she's sorry that her older brother is such a dope.
Yes, right, okay.
Yeah, he's dead. That's why they can't find him.
I've watched this episode twice, but I've done it like a week ago. So, forgive me.
It's hard to find people when they're dead.
Yes, it is.
Little known fact.
So anyway, their father has also arrived there. As has Harry Potter. I mean, their cousin Yakumo. Or did I have that right the first time?
No, he's not Harry Potter. No scar on his forehead.
So he's Yakumo.
He just went to the same school. Jeez.
Actually, judging by the next episode, I think he's Malfoy. But we'll get to that eventually.
Then their other cousin tries to kill them.
Yes, Nagi, our Yellow Ranger. And then Kasumi, their other cousin, tapes basically kick me signs to the back of Nagi and Fuka's... head back in head. So, you know, family bullying. Yay. Regardless, we get a little bit of exposition then about Kiba Oni Gengetsu. Something like that. Kiba Oni is our
Okay. Let's just go with Infernal King.
Well, if we're gonna do that, we have to just call him Master Vile.
Anyway, Kiba Oni is our, not Dokuku, big bad, and apparently he was sealed away, like, 444 years ago, and then was supposed to be, he was destined to be resurrected 444 years later, only he...
Ed was, like, sealed with 48 shuriken, which, hey!
48? What an unusual number of things to have. I wonder what that could be an indication of.
Episode? No, it couldn't be like, you know, number of episodes that we could have or anything like that. Anyhow, but that's okay because their grandfather defeated Kiba Oni and locked him away again. Takaharu realizes that the guys that Well, no, actually, before he does that, their father realizes they might have miscalculated a bit, and 444 years would actually be this year.
Maybe.
Possibly. Their clan is not necessarily good at math, let's say. Ninjutsu, sure. Math, yeah, not so much.
Ah, that's hard.
Stop that.
I love it whenever Fort Max reacts to that. He's always the first one to, also.
That's because the rest of us know better than to give you the satisfaction.
I don't know. He's not Paladin.
Yeah, Paladin doesn't get satisfaction from anything.
This is true.
Anyhow, Takaharu surmises
Paladin
that...
gets satisfaction from not getting satisfaction.
Takaharu surmises that the guys that he murdered might have been, you know, working for Akiba Oni. Maybe.
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 Or it might just be some dudes I killed. I don't know.
Their family runs on a lot of assumptions.
Maybe.
Anyhow, his father brings up the rest of the ninja swords, where we see that Nagi still has the kick me sign on his back. But the rest of them all give excuses as to why they can't, you know, do this. Like, we have lives. Screw you. So they go to look at the grave where Akiba Oni was sealed away, along with the 48 sealing shuriken. Now, what is it? Hold on. There's a relevant point to that also.
Yeah, and it's glancing over Renamon, I think.
Well, yeah, Renamon is there, but Talmon, actually. Yeah. She's just lurking at the moment. Yes, okay. So anyway, then
What else does she do?
Well, yes. Nothing yet, because I wasn't to that point.
Well, it's Renamon. She lurks. That's what she does.
This is true. So they go to visit the grave, and there's nothing to be had of it until Talmon inserts her own shirt. I'm assuming it's a girl. It's a female voice actress. That's never too much to be sure, but we'll just go with that for now. Into their very toyetic-looking mallet that we'll probably never actually get a toy of.
It'll sit there with the trumpet.
Yes, just like Bosco's trumpet. Inserts a shuriken, which suddenly unleashes Kiba Oni from his slumber. Coincidentally, along with a bunch of other shit. So, yokai begin to attack the city, nondescript Tokyo, which is also a little brutal at one point where one of them knocks that guy down and then crushes his throat, while a child cries over her clearly dead mother.
Right. All the while, purple water fills some vessel, drop by drop.
It's the Sanzu River.
This will be important later.
And it's probably black water.
It's purple. Whether it's intended to be black, it's actually purple.
Anyhow, the not ninjas go to check this out in spite of not being able to do anything about it, besides Takaharu. When
the non-ninjas?
The non-ninjas, yes. when one of those, I'm guessing one of those sealing shuriken that sealed Kiba Oni away, flies into a chainsaw, and we get a chainsaw Kamaitachi. Which is kind of frightening as hell.
Yeah.
Because you're taking an ancient Japanese creature that already is, you know, completely focused on cutting things and everything, and usually displayed as being made of swords.
And now it's made of chainsaws.
Electronic swords.
Sickles. And now he's made of chainsaws. So Nagi's hat gets cut off, thank God, because that looks stupid as hell on him. Along with Parfuka's...
Rip in peace that hat.
Yeah, rip in peace that hat. It ripped in pieces, all right.
Just two pieces.
So while the others are like...
You just need a stapler. It'll be fine.
While the others are crapping their pants, Takahara goes off to fight and gets his ass kicked. And the others decide, like, okay, we'll join them. They all pull their shurikens and I was like, oh, right, we left the swords behind.
Oops.
Thankfully, their father/uncle is there prepared, having chased after them with all the damn swords in hand.
You know, when it got to this point, like, okay, so when he first revealed the swords, they popped up out of the ground in bamboo skewers.
Yeah.
I was really hoping that they would just have that be a repeating theme.
Whenever they summon the swords, they just pop out of the ground. That would be kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah, like, you know, he would just get the... He would still be there, and, you know...
He tug on some random seal, and then they just pop out of the ground.
Exactly. The bamboo skewers would pop out of the concrete, and the swords would just be there.
That would be awesome, but that might
out
be...
Out of the concrete, or out of the roof of the building, or...
Right.
That might be a bit too much for budget episodes. Although, I guess they could just, like, have the camera positioned to a point that it just rises up.
Yeah.
They, you know, have the sound effects to make it sound like...
And it doesn't have to do that every episode. Just, you know, be a recurring thing that happens.
See, now I'm disappointed.
Well, that's how I felt when I was watching the Raw stream.
So anyway, it's transformation.
But also
time.
having Uncle Dad having to run over every.
Is it Alabama?
Okay, that is his name now.
There's gotta be a better way to phrase that.
No! That's his name now, Uncle Dad. It encompasses his entire character. So anyway,
he's from Alabama.
So he's from Osaka. I apologize to any Osakan listener that we probably don't have. I do not apologize to Alabama.
Alabama should apologize to us.
They should. Regardless, okay, everybody ends up on top of a building because they're ninjas. And it's transformation time, because these swords are actually the transformation devices, which is kind of something I like, actually. It gets away, you know, from, you know, either, you know, it's not a cell phone morpher, it's not a wrist-mounted morpher. It's something, well, of course, you know, Curator had guns, so that was some point in their favor, I guess.
But guns aren't swords, this isn't Final Fantasy.
Yeah, swords are cooler anyway.
Well, except when the guns are swords.
Look, shut up.
But then you get Squall, and who wants that? So anyway, transformation and roll call. It's nice and very fanciful.
I like the group transformation sequence.
I do, too.
It's very quick and to the point.
Yes, the actual roll call is not, but hey.
No.
They're flashy.
You can tell why they got... Why they replaced a bunch of the older suit actors.
They are the ninja who don't hide.
Which is a nice contrast to Kaku Ranger.
Yes. So, opening episode, actual fight now. This is going to be half the episode now. And it's pretty cool. They rely a little bit more on trickery and stuff because it's ninjas instead of, you know, just straight up choreography. But I imagine, you know, the budget will only hold out so long and they'll have to go back to relying on that more. But the actual choreography was even...
A bunch of ninja trickery is just cheap camera... is just cheap effects that are both... that a lot of times is just... Okay.
Yeah, but this is also Toei.
No, I mean cheap effects like stop filming here, like,
yes,
okay,
but
pause, one guy walks off,
yes,
start
but
again.
Fort Max, you're missing my point. This is also Toei.
Yeah, except this is Toei's whole thing they do.
Yeah, this is true. But what I'm saying is some of the points are a bit more of effects laden, like the use of the shuriken and so on and so forth. So
this is also where the toy commercial element really comes it too heavily.
Oh,
in
yes,
play.
It does.
I think they could have saved some of the weapons for like episode 2 and not lost too much from this.
Yes,
fight
because we get the Gamma Gamma gun, and we also get all of the individual weapons along with the regular ninja swords and Aka Ninja's finishing attack with his sword.
We also get a banana.
Yes, poor Fuka. So yeah, Fuka's actually not very good at this. Everybody else is pretty decent. Especially red, pink, and blue for differing reasons. But yeah, Fuka's having a hard time, and that's going to continue as a theme, it looks like.
That's the one thing I'm kind of disappointed with.
She is Shelby.
Because she's not necessarily incompetent, because she does really well up until she hits that banana.
She is competent. The show's just pulling the rug out from under her for
literally.
Laughs.
Yeah,
literally. Yes.
Yes, and this does continue quite heavily into episode 2 to a degree. But we'll get to that next week. Regardless, hopefully it's something that they do, like, show her actively improving upon. And it's not necessarily a she's a girl thing, because Kasumi is actually very competent. So here's hoping that does improve. But it does stick out. I do like all these suit actors, though, because they have a lot of characterization in their movement, which is good, and it's something that does actually stick out even in the first episode. It sticks out even more in the second episode, though. But regardless, Monster blows up, and Talmon makes it grow. Thus, it's time for a mysterious figure to show down more shuriken, and we get our mecha.
Which have all been hidden in the city somehow.
Very hurricane.
Because ninjas.
Yes. So we get, you know, such ninja-like giant robots as dragons, trains, dump trucks.
A dog. Just a dog.
Just a dog. Poor Fuka.
She's got the cutest Zord, so she's probably thrilled.
She does.
Naki has no clue why he gets a dump truck.
That's what I like the best. He's just like, why?
He's just like, I'm a dump truck.
His spirit animal is Dump Maru. That's its name! That's his name! Isn't
I know, but it's funny when you say it like that.
Dump Maru.
If he could have said it like Adam.
Uh-huh.
The spirit's a dump truck.
It's too late now. It's ruined.
I had to try. But anyway, the fight's actually pretty cool. A lot of use of the individual mecha that we will not ever see again.
Except for Shinobi, Maru.
Yes, except for Shinobi.
Yeah.
And then it's time for them to combine. Or for Shinobi Maru to sit down, more I like it.
After he leads all the others into their combination sequence.
I like the combination sequence.
It is nice.
Yeah, it's put together differently than what we're used to seeing.
One thing I'm noticing, though, that I don't like, which kind of goes back to the poor Fuka part, is the fact that Wanmaru actually doesn't matter for the transformation in the slightest.
Nope.
Not even a bit.
Nope.
He
doesn't contribute a damn thing to the fight, either.
Even less than Abare Yellow's mech. Wasn't there actually literally an episode where they fought
yes.
without it?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Poor Fuka is kind of a running theme here. And it will continue.
Hopefully that's just a thing until she gets her first focus episode and then they get better.
Hopefully. Or else that could get a little annoying.
I like Fuka from
like
watching
girls.
The first two episodes,
yeah.
And I feel bad for her, and it's getting irritating.
Yeah, like I said, she is so far my favorite character, and it is a little irritating, even if, like, her character is fun to watch. Even her suit actor is fun to watch, because she's very mm-hmm. lively.
Yeah.
But regardless, so, mecha fight, in which, you know, like 10 seconds into it, then Takaharu has Shinobi Maru then jump out of the combination again. Want to go back? I like the finisher though. It's weird and comical, but it's also kind of cool. This little tiny hand raising up the sword with the big hand and the big sword.
I'm just wondering how long the Shinobi Maru movements on the suit are going to end up being a thing.
It depends on how often they actually use the standard combination, because you'll note all extra combinations replace Shinobi Maru.
Right.
There's probably a reason for that.
But all the extra combinations also have a dude sitting in the seat.
Sort of. Some of them look like they'd probably be a bit less active than others.
Maybe so, but
I
just
think I don't think the elephant's moving around too much.
Well, the elephant doesn't actually have arms, it just has fists attached to the side of its head.
I know that, but I'm just saying. Maybe its trunk will move, I don't know.
I'm just saying, I wonder how long they're going to keep up, you know, using the suit that has the animatronics in it.
Right.
Or if it's just a stacked, or it may have been designed that the part with the animatronics is swappable.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Either way, I can see them cutting corners after a while.
Yeah.
Worse. It's a very involved looking little, not little, but it's a very involved looking suit.
Not to mention, like even, apart, just, even apart like, from the moving parts that it literally has, it's a very busy looking suit.
Yeah, it's at least as bulky as some of the mid tier Tokuger suits. Mm-hmm. And next week it gets even more so. Regardless, as they celebrate their victory, they suddenly discover that Granddad is not actually dead.
What a dick.
He's instead standing up on a pole.
Because ninja. We glossed over the backstory where they referred to him as the last ninja.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's really more important next week, honestly. Yeah, he's called the last ninja.
I just think it's a cool-sounding title.
It is a really cool-sounding title, actually.
Even though it's a complete damn lie.
It is a complete damn lie. My favorite line here is, stop trying to pretend I'm dead. Or decide I'm dead.
I imagine a lot of old people feel that way.
Yes. It's not going to decide I'm dead. And they tells him that they need to refine. They need to refine their mentality to bring love and peace to the world.
So I'm going to assume that's purposely a combination word of vitality and mentality with ninja.
Yeah,
I keep thinking fatality, and that it's going to be about ripping out spine Shin style.
No. That would be Shintality, not Nintality. Mm.
Regardless, so yeah, that's the episode. And that's the first episode of
So I've been trying to think back to last year-ish.
Yes.
Watching the first episode of Tokuger and remembering what I felt watching that. And the only thing I remember is I believe I felt bored watching that.
I enjoyed it, but...
But the ninja was fun to watch.
So that's good. And I enjoyed it too, so, you know.
I guess we'll have to wait until next week and see what Mickey thinks of it.
Yeah.
I think this was a pretty good start overall. It's just way too fast-paced right now.
It is exactly as much toy commercial as Tokuger's first episode was. They just have more toys at launch.
Yeah, that's the thing. They just have a few more toys than Tokuger did at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Or
it feels that way anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe the toys they have at launch are just more intrusive visually.
Maybe. I mean, they all have a point. They all have a purpose.
Okay, so, we have the Changer, which in this case is the sword.
Which is so it's constantly used, so that is one
point. And it also... Okay, so, Tokuger had... Their Changer was a wrist device, which wasn't anything else. Then they had the sword guns.
Sword guns. And then they had their individual weapons. Here we get the Changer, which is their sword. Then a separate...
Right.
Than their individual weapons. So I guess it actually isn't that much more.
We just have a separate gun instead of a sword. Instead of a sword gun.
And if you think about it too, because their individual weapons are made from that base shuriken thing also.
Right.
Which means that visually it's less of an intrusion than
Those things are pretty much like the Kiba weapons from
Ginga Man.
Yeah.
The trans daggers.
It's not technically any more or less. It just something about it feels a bit busier somehow. I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
That's considering the fact that Tokuger also introduced the line switching gimmick at the same time.
Yeah,
which kind of made using the individual weapons necessary.
Right. It did. Well, in one line of thinking, I could see also if you're doing a color swap thing, having one base weapon that can be any of the weapons. Would also have a reasonable use.
They're trans daggers.
It just depends, what direction you're going to go with how the show is laid out.
Right.
Which is not especially relevant to Ninja, but, you know.
Whatever,
relevant to anything.
Yeah, it's I like this, but I like all the characters. I like the setup. I like the monster designs. I
I even like Uncle Dad for as little of an impact as he had on the episode.
Yeah.
Just because he's like, you know, a little bit older, slightly calmed down version of Red.
Yeah, pretty much.
We don't get much time spent with the cast, but they seem to play off each other well.
Yeah, and I've seen episode 2, and episode 2 is good.
So, I think the important thing is that they got Fuka and, what's Red's name?
Takahara.
They got them where they could play well off of each other, and since that was like the main focus for character interaction, you know, that was like the big important thing to actually get right.
And since he is the Red Ranger, and since she's the Red Ranger's little sister, she's probably going to factor in pretty importantly, I'd imagine, whenever stuff comes up. So,
and she's not pink, so.
Yeah, also, simply due to her relation, I think that is a sign that her character probably is going to have those improvements at some point. It's just that I get the impression it's like it was a responsibility she didn't want to take on, so she's kind of playing catch up.
Well, she's also probably the youngest one, so.
Either her or Nagi, but it's probably her.
Yeah, so I think it's just Nagi's yellow, right? He was the one who was complaining that he hadn't even really trained to be a ninja.
Yes.
So, like, there's basis, whether stated or not, for, you know, for Fuka to not be either very interested or very good at it when it comes to actual practice.
Right.
So, as long as it doesn't stay this way through the whole series, it'll be fine.
Right, but, I mean, if it stayed that way, I would assume it would be a bad series, because then that would be static characterization, and don't want that.
It would be Star Trek Voyager.
Yes, it would. I don't think we're going to be getting that, because...
No, it's not like this is Ghost Ager.
Yeah, like, even episode 2 has some character development for Yakumo, so I imagine she'll get there. And it's like, even, like, say, early on in Gokaiger, we weren't really sure, like, say, where I'm stood in terms of, like, ability or...
She was even there.
And then Aim turned out to be, like, horribly frightening.
Yeah, I said, the one episode where she,
just,
you know,
calmly, you know, straight face is like, and then I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Well, first you have that one episode where she has that bit of the set to the side with that criminal. Mm-hmm. And then you get the episode where she just, like, destroys Deca Break. And you're like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't she flat out tell the Hurricangers that, you know, if this or this goes this way, I'm going to kill you?
I can't remember.
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
I think it was something like that, because it was just her, Doc, and Guy. So yeah. That makes that, it kind of like defaults her into the leadership position.
Well, I mean, the only one you'd want to be leading at that point, because, like...
Yes, because otherwise...
Guy might not mind taking control.
But do you want him in control?
He's not capable of it. And no. Doc knows better than to want it.
Yes! He's the smart one for a reason.
No, you make a good point, though, because, like, yeah, Aim was kind of a blank slate at the start, but she turned out to be, like... horribly frightening whenever,
in the best way possible too.
Yeah,
as opposed to, you know, like Kagura, who started out that way.
Or kind of like, or difference with Aim, kind of May in that time, she didn't really get much, except that she had a habit of straight out brutally defeating a monster, and even in episodes that weren't about her.
I need to watch my box set. God.
Yeah, you really should.
Have you been? Or have you?
I don't have a box set. I'm talking about my experience watching G Ranger.
You've watched G Ranger, that's right.
Yeah.
Box set is really good.
God, I need to.
It is one of the rare sets where the video quality is pretty much identical to the Japanese release.
That's very good.
That's what you were saying last week, which is impressive.
I would like to know what Hoosh Shout had to jump through to get Toei to give them.
It makes me really, really hope.
I don't know. I think it's probably the fact that I think the reason that Viz got the shitmasters that they did is they were insistent on doing Blu-rays.
Uh-huh.
And Toei hasn't even done Blu-rays.
Oh,
for Sailor Moon.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's the Funimation Dragon Ball Z problem. Before, when they tr- Because I
remember... a couple of those. Could Gennaro it down a bit?
Well, that is just a general problem they have. They try to get ahead of Toei on that stuff, and then they have
and
to go back...
Especially with Blu-rays where Japan
and then they
and
have
US
to go back
and
re-release it after Toei does it. Because, like, you had, you know, their ill-fated cropped remastered version on DVD. Then you then we got the Dragon Boxes, which were Toei's remasters. Then we got now what they're releasing, which is on Blu-ray.
The cropped is widescreen ones with all the grain wiped out, so it looks like it was animated in Flash.
Yeah, so it's the same problem they had with the DVD remasters that you thought they'd learned a lesson on when they released the Dragon Box, but apparently they didn't.
No, the Blu-ray thing makes perfect sense because, A, like...
Toei doesn't want reverse importing.
Yeah, I didn't know Toei did not do Blu-ray Sailor Moon for Japan at this point. Yeah. And yeah, there's the same region for Blu-ray for Japan and the U.S., so if Viz makes good Blu-rays... then they are undercutting Toei's market when they get around to it. That make it completely makes sense.
Or at
now.
Least not completely ship Blu-rays, because it would still be upscaled if it was from the masters that Toei and Dynet have used for their DVDs.
And I mean, I'm still buying the Viz releases because I want to own the series. And
just like, you just aren't buying Blu-rays.
No, I am buying the Blu-rays. Because, I am.
Oh.
Here's the thing. The Blu-rays are still much better than the DVDs because the DVDs are using widescreen mode.
Exactly.
So the resolution is even lower than it needs to be.
Exactly. So you kind of, if you're going to get anything, you have to kind of get the Blu-rays.
Criminy.
Yeah.
Yeah, though I think the second set actually has the DVDs using the full screen mode.
Maybe later on they will like re-release the first set in full screen mode and make everybody who got the first set originally mad because they have to rebuy it.
Well,
let me tell you a story about Zeta Gundam.
Oh God, Zeta Gundam.
Yeah.
is this about its original DVD release?
I already tuned out when they started talking about Blu-rays.
Yes,
didn't it
Kim?
Just have like dub titles for the first release?
That I own that. It was $200.
Well, and, like, people bought that because at the time it was being heavily implied that, you know, this is going to be it. There's not going to be any other release of this.
That was my Christmas present that year.
And, okay, so you could buy this $200 box set at this time. And then a year or so later, individual volumes started coming out at a fraction of the price.
Yes,
with proper subtitle, with proper non-dub title subs.
Uh-huh. So the only advantage anybody had for buying that box set was a set of little, like...
The figures.
Yeah, little figurines. So, you know...
Which I've lost at this point somewhere.
Of course you have.
Because they were tiny. Of course. So that's not depressing at all.
So, you know, when the box set came out, I wasn't able to afford a $200 box set.
On top of that, the opening and end themes are not there.
Well, they're not on the individual releases either. That was a licensing issue.
Yeah, it's a rights issue, but that's
right,
still...
Righteous, you're saying. Even on the streaming, they didn't have those. But streaming was just straight up using the DVDs.
Right. Right, right. And I realize it's a rights issue, but it's still, you know...
It might not be now. Because when they were putting up Double Zeta, they were able to use it, the Zeta's opening as a insert song in the first episode.
So there was, on PlayStation 2, Federation vs. Zeon and its sequel, Gundam vs. Zeta Gundam. On Gundam vs. Zeta, they did not have Zeta Gundam theme song on there, but they had Double Zeta's theme on there. So even that far back, it doesn't seem like there was any rights or licensing issues with those theme
songs. Of course,
songs.
Also with it appearing in that one episode of Double Zeta, that may have been that, they completely forgot about it.
No, but I was kind of saved for myself on that box set thing because I couldn't afford it during the time it was available, and then the individual ones came out, which I was able to get, you know, one at a time off write stuff for like $15 a piece. So I had the, I ended up with the whole of Zeta for,
and with proper like, subs.
I was more interested in the dub anyway, yeah. Honestly. But I had had, okay, so like I had had fan sub Zeta episodes for years, low res as you did back then. But as it turned out, the subs on the official release were very, very similar to those. So like for having subtitled ones, I already had the correct experience with that, because it was all apparently, it was as accurate as the official ones anyway. No, I was more interested in the dub, and I ended up getting the whole series for like $60 altogether, spread over a series of months.
I keep getting taken out of the dub because, well, everybody's
Char.
Char and Amuro both. They're just,
okay,
it,
so like,
it, it
if Char's counterattack was not a thing that was dubbed by, Vancouver.
Yeah.
I think I would have been able to deal with that better because, like, you know, he just sounds different because he's 7 years older. Mm-hmm. It happens. Maybe he smoked the whole time he was at Axis.
Yeah, and at least then, you know, Amuro would have finished puberty.
Unlike Brad Swale, who apparently never did.
Yes, exactly. That was indeed the joke. I'm glad you picked up on it.
Well, how could I not? Catra is like the most prominent voice he's ever done, and Catra sounds like he's 13 forever.
And Catra was played by a girl in Japan, if I recall right. I'm pretty sure. I might be wrong on that. It's been a long time since I watched Wing in Japanese.
Well, and then there's Mega Man Battle Network, where for the first season, they had an actual child voice actor doing Lan's voice, and then subsequently, Brad Swale.
We never noticed the difference.
Well, I did because, you know, Brad Swale's voice. But to be fair, Brad Swale was a better voice actor in terms of, like, actual acting in the role than Alex Doduck, if I remember right, was the original voice of Lan in Battle Network.
I think that's right.
Oh, so you're saying he was better than the actual kid?
In terms of being able to act, yes. In terms of sounding like a child, not so much. So, you know, you just take what you get, I guess. But the point is, something about DVD releases, I don't know. Oh, no, we were talking about getting hosed on, like, subsequent release stuff, and that led into the whole...
Yeah. Right.
Zeta and Brad Swale, or... Yeah, Brad Swale, and... All that stuff.
That was some 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon right there.
No, to be honest, though, I kind of liked Quattro's voice in the Zeta dub. Like, Michael Copsa's Char in all the other Gundam stuff is great, but...
Well, by all the other, you mean the two things that he did.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Of course, then there's also the original dub of the movie.
Yeah. That also throws me a little bit in Unicorn, but the guy they have doing Full Frontal actually sounds a lot like Copsa.
Copsa, I think, just has a good voice.
Yeah. And the guy who did Full Frontal is also now playing Char in Origin.
Did Michael Copsa retire or something?
Well, it's because he is, you know, Ocean Group in Canada, and they're doing this out of the U.S.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
I think it's New York, but they have some L.A. people in it.
Okay. That's kind of a shame.
Yeah.
I like Westwood's Gundam cast.
Yeah.
Although, I think I will still always prefer the original movie dub for having, like, British Bright.
Steve Bloom, Char.
Steve Bloom's Char wasn't bad.
I haven't... Here's the thing. I haven't actually ever heard the original dub. All I know is that...
Bright
was British, and that Char was Steve Bloom, and I haven't actually seen it before.
Dude, I own it on VHS, all three movies.
God. I see, I can never find it on VHS dubbed. I could find it subbed everywhere back then, but I can never find it dubbed.
I think I got these off of eBay sealed.
Damn!
For like a couple dollars each.
I don't think my VCR even works anymore.
Mine's not hooked up. I have digital copies of them, but like... I have, and have watched the VHS copies. It was kind of swell. Well, we kind of decided not to do power playback for a while, so I guess I don't need to ask what we're doing next week, because next week we're going to be doing Dino Charge and Ninja.
And we'd probably be here about as long as we have for either of the episodes.
Which is frightening when you get down to it.
We're still under 2 hours for episode length, so take that as you will.
Positive or negative?
We'd be here for another 30 if it if we had power playback.
We did about 25 minutes on Ninja.
And how long was Dino Charge?
About 47.
I guess that's a good sign to some degree.
Like, I think the difference is that Dino Charge is far enough in that there's, you know, like, development stuff going on, and the fighting is kind of a side thought.
Yeah.
Ninja's debut had to rely on a lot of stock footage stuff, which let us cut some time.
Also, the fact that with our initial reaction to Dino Charge, it's like, oh my god, it's actually good. Whereas Ninja was like, okay, yeah, it's good again.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, status quo remains. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Pretty much, yeah.
At this point, Sentai is like Ghost Sager and Kyoryuger are kind of the outliers.
And even some of Kyoryuger was okay.
The fights, basically.
Well,
basically.
In the second half, there was not near as much Sakamoto-ism in the directing.
See, you got much further than I did.
I stopped for like 15 episodes.
You just picked it up and ran with it.
I saw scans of Carnival form and wanted to see how that actually worked in the show.
Oh god, we still gotta put up with that.
I do wonder how Dino Charge will make that work.
Battleizer.
Yeah, of course, it's Battleizer.
Like, there hasn't been a Battleizer, well, Samurai had one, but they didn't really do a Battleizer thing for Megaforce,
yeah,
did they?
And there hasn't really been something that they've used as a Battleizer that's from Sentai. Because that's usually always a U.S. thing. And you know, Bandai of America was looking at that like, God bless you, Japan. We don't have to do anything this time.
Although, if it ends up like SPD, they'll, you know, do a Battleizer and then have Carnival.
And add a thong.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Silence and then talk
so
about
what
knobs.
Are this week's pork rinds?
Sounds like tortilla chips.
They are.
I always have had a good ear. So are they just plain tortilla chips, or is it like Doritos?
Plain tortilla chips and cheese dip.
Ah. So the makings of horrible, horrible indigestion and heartburn.
Probably, yes.
Yes, yes.
Corn and cheese, can't go wrong with that. Wait.
Yes, well, may you have a better early morning than I did.
Oh dear.
Yes, well, for the sake of you eating, I will not go into details. So what'd you do, did you just get like a jar of cheese dip from the store?
Yeah, because I can't have the spicy stuff, so I can't have the queso.
No, or it's salsa. Just, no, I wondered if you like, you know, made your own.
No, that's too much effort.
Cheese dip is really hard to get to work when
it
you
is.
Make it from scratch.
Yeah, unless you get like the exact right kind of cheese, then otherwise you just end up with this gooey mass of
yellow
stuff. Yeah, gooey mass of, this gooey mass of yellow that does not quite do what you want it to.
I feel like there's intro quotes in that somewhere, but
I'm not sure where. Gooey mass of yellow might do it.
スーパーヒーロー怪人、次回も見てね。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.